You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour now of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. We are coming to you live tonight from our flagship radio station, AM 1380 WLRM in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a worldwide audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We are now going to revisit a recurring theme on the show, and as I mentioned at the top of the second hour, we are not ones to separate our faith from our politics, and helping us to fuse the two together once again is our good friend, a man who has made more appearances as a guest on this show than any other in the history of our 9-year run on the AM and FM airwaves, Reverend Ted Pike. He is the director of the National Prayer Network at truthtellers.org, and it is, of course, a Christian conservative watchdog organization. And well, first with that, I would like to welcome Ted back to the show. Reverend Pike, it's, as always, our honor, my friend. And it's been too long. Are you with us, Ted? Ted Pike, are you with us? We're waiting on Ted, but he has...
About every idea I have takes about 3 pages to get out of my system. And
okay, I believe I hear you now, Ted.
What's that?
Okay, I can hear you now. I just wanted to make sure we had a good connection. Welcome back to the show. It's been far too long.
Oh yes. I was just mentioning that I'm doing a lot of writing, probably a lot more writing than broadcasting in the last year.
Well, the writing has been scintillating, and as Eddie and I were both mentioning, Eddie the Bombardier Miller is with me co-hosting for this final hour we have with you this evening, and it's been too long. You know, you have been our most interviewed guest since our inception in 2004, but I appreciate your writing, and it is, in fact, that writing that brings you back tonight. I couldn't help but notice the incredible articles that have been written on your website, truthtellers.org, again, for the listeners out there. I want to start first with how evangelicals went astray, because this is, as I mentioned, a recurring theme on the show. We don't separate our faith from our politics, and we lament, as you do, Ted, the subversion of the body of Christ, the Christian church, by the forces of evil. And you speak truth to power in that article. Can you give us a brief summation, and then we'll get into a little back and forth?
Yes, I point out that the modern term evangelical was coined probably around 1950 in the Billy Graham, great Billy Graham revivals after the Second World War. The evangelicals before that time were called fundamentalists, and they had a certain reputation for preaching fire and brimstone against those who indulged in sinful behaviors, kind of a negative image. And the determination was made by Graham and other evangelicals that they were going to take a more positive approach to Christianity, largely appealing to people's self-interest rather than just the fear of damnation. And my parents were right in the middle of this around 1950. My father was in the pastorate, and they were very concerned about the way the world was going, particularly countries like China, which had fallen to communism, and yet they were very burdened that the evangelical movement and the evangelical church was taking a stance that was apolitical. They didn't want to get involved in politics. Their watchword was, we must be positive, we must be respectable. And, of course, this didn't apply to Israel. The church considered Israel to be the crown jewel of apologetic ammunition, basically telling the world that Israel was the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Israel proved that the Bible was true and that Christianity was true, and that people should become Christians. And so there was a reticence, I should say, a complete refusal to deal with political issues in general, or the great moral issues of our time, liberalism and communism and so on, that the church went headlong into support of Israel. That was always a given, that Israel as a political entity and non-criticism of the Jews were completely safe, sacred, and blessed and ordained by God.
Eddie, I know this is something that you are particularly passionate about, and I know you are equally excited as I am to have Reverend Pike back on the program this evening to help us address these issues. This is something, and Ted, I shared with you on the telephone call we had earlier this week when we were booking you for the show tonight, that Eddie and I are both members of the Southern Baptist Church. Both of our churches have, Eddie's particularly has really gone off the deep end with regards to some of the points you make in this article. Eddie, I'd like for you to chime in on that and ask a question of Ted before we wrap up this first segment. And then I want to read a couple of passages from his excellent article at truthtellers.org.
Reverend Pike, it has been far too long. It's Eddie the Bombardier Miller here. We used to have you on quite often, and I have really missed you coming on. You know, you mentioned something that really got my interest. You mentioned the Reverend Billy Graham, and I follow him. I never was a huge fan of him, but I'm sure you're probably aware that when President Nixon was in the White House, the Nixon tapes that got him busted with Watergate and all that stuff. What a lot of people like to sweep under the rug, Reverend Pike, is that Billy Graham, while he was in the Oval Office, he told President Nixon, and I can come close to quoting, but I'll get pretty close. He said that we have to do something about, these Jews in Hollywood. In fact, he turned them. He said, he told the president, he said, there's two types of Jews. He said, there's a good Jew, I guess the Jews that have come over to Christ. And he said, we also have a synagogue of Satan. He said, these are the Jews that we have in Hollywood that can totally control Hollywood. They totally control the media. And Nixon told him, retorted back, he said, you really believe that? He said, I believe that too. And he told Billy Graham, he said, but I cannot possibly say that, because if I was to say that, I would be crucified the next day by the New York Times, Washington Post, etc. And Billy Graham agreed with him. But here's why I held against Graham. Right. See, when Billy Graham was busted on the tapes and it came out as in the news that he said that against the Jews, he went and groveled. He apologized and bellyached and said he didn't mean that. What do you have to say about that? What do you feel about that, Reverend?
Well, Ray? You know, it's interesting that he, when he was busted, as you say, he groveled before the rabbis of Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's these same rabbis who came out very strongly against me personally for my production of the Other Israel video back in 1987. And here you have two responses from two evangelical clergymen. One is to grovel before the synagogue of Satan and apologize for something that was very truthful, very concerned, very much the burden of his heart. He went right into the Oval Office and told the ruler of the land the dynamics of what was really going on. And then myself, I would never, never begin to even apologize for what I propounded in my Other Israel video.
Reverend Pike, we're just getting started with hour with you, and we're going to take advantage of every moment. But first, we got to take a break. Stay tuned, everybody. Reverend Ted Pike continues as our guest right after this.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, our featured guest tonight is the incomparable Reverend Ted Pike, director of the National Prayer Network at truthtellers.org. Visit the site and make it among your favorite places. Ted, we're talking about in the opening moments of tonight's hour with you how evangelicals went astray. It's one of your most recent articles, and I'd like to read a passage from it for the audience and then toss it back over to you.
Okay.
This is what you had to say. Jewish supremacists wield the term anti-Semitism as a weapon to intimidate all who oppose them. They've made the term equal in repugnance to child molester. Most American leaders have cowered before the threat of being called anti-Semitic, but evangelicals prove especially fearful. The American church has, for 60 years, taught its members at all costs to avoid shame for the sake of the whole truth. Above all, Christians should avoid any possibility of incurring the shame of being called an anti-Semite, the ultimate humiliation in our Jewish-dominated culture. And then I want to move now to your summary, Ted. Anyone who loves the truth should seek to become as much like Jesus as possible. Far from being a religion of Rolls Royces and perfect health, Christianity only promises spiritual success, often at great earthly cost. Jesus said, "If a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The Apostle Paul says, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." The imprisoned disciples rejoiced, quote, "that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name," end quote. Jesus and his followers were persecuted by the Jews, yet rejoiced. Christians should joyfully accept the relatively mild indignity of being labeled anti-Semitic, both by Christ-rejecting Jews and shame-rejecting evangelical Zionists. As Jesus rose from the tomb in power, unaffected by the shame he had just undergone, and his disciples rejoiced to be imprisoned for his name, so out of our willingness to accept shame for Jesus and the whole truth, we discover the true power of Christianity. It is a power to save not only ourselves and our families from the ravages of sin, but also to save the United States of America, a nation created by God to be inhabited by those who rush forward to defend Jesus and freedom. Eddie Miller, that, written by Ted Pike, is one of the most powerful passages I've ever read on this show. And Ted, you wrote the words. Back over to you, my dear friend, to expound upon them.
Well, yes, I point out that the premises of the evangelical movement, starting with Graham around 1950, that we must be positive, we must not be controversial, we must be respectable, and so on. What it did was it presented no real opposition to the Anti-Defamation League, which had been going since 1911, beginning to subvert America. And in the years following Graham, we find ADL originating hate crimes laws, pro-pornography, pro-homosexuality, obscuring the Jewish supremacist control of Congress and media, finance, etc. And so this attitude of hands-off political, you know, if we just preach the gospel, God will take care of the social and political problems of the world. These ideas were powerful in neutralizing the church so that Babylon the Great, which is Israel and Jewish world control, could ascend to staggering power that it wields now today, not only in America, but throughout the world, and especially the Middle East. So these were momentous issues which my parents were wrestling with and protested 60-some years ago, in which I carry on attempting to remind the church that if we give our lives completely to God, the Holy Spirit will not only lead us into the whole truth, but He will protect us when we speak the truth. You know, I came out with my Other Israel video in 1987, and it sent shockwaves through the ADL. They held a big conference here in Seattle, gathered the evangelicals, pastors together, and I wanted to mobilize them to try to stop me. They said I'd be destroyed in a year and a half. Here I am. Behold, I live. I'm still speaking the truth. And that very Other Israel, by the way, has had about 700,000 viewings on both Google and now on YouTube.
Reverend Pike, I'd like to jump in, and there's so many scriptures I'd like to cover, but I'm going to have to zero in a few. I think a lot of our people have lost, they don't have their identity. But a lot of people might say that I'm of the identity movement, but what I'm saying is here, in my church, you can ask any Southern Baptist and about the Jews, and they'll always say, well, he who blesses blesses Israel, I shall bless. Well, I have the New Testament, I have the King James Bible, and forgive me if I go fast, I got a lot to cram in, but it never said I will bless Israel. I'm in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and I'm going down to the 17th verse, and I'll summarize right quick. Like when Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, Isaac, and God sent an angel and stopped him. So, but after he saw that he was going to sacrifice his son, here's what God said. He said, I'm skipping down to the 17th verse. It said that in blessing, he's talking to Abraham. He said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and he was willing to sacrifice his son, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. He never said anything about Israel. He was talking about I'm blessing Abraham. And he goes on to say, he says, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and in the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. And I'm getting ready to leave this. And in this, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Well, that seed there in the 18th verse, he's talking about this Jesus Christ. And the seeds that are as numerous as the seashell, as the sands on the seashell, I'm going to skip over people, fast forward to Galatians, third chapter of Galatians, and they'll tell you about who the true seed is. Here's the true seed of Abraham. Okay, I'm in the third chapter of Galatians, the 6th verse. I'm going to hurry this up. It says, God's covenant with Abraham. All right. It says, the Apostle Paul says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same or the children of Abraham. God didn't just save Abraham because he was Abraham. He saved him and blessed him because he had faith. That's how everybody's saved. Just go to go to Hebrews 11th chapter, which is known as the faith chapter. Okay, now I'm going over in the same chapter. I'm going to shut up just a second and get Reverend Pike, see what you say about this. All right, I'm still in Galatians 3, and I'm going over to the 24th verse. It says, I'm going to skip down here. It says, I'm going to the 26th verse. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. That tells you right there who the seed of Abraham, the true seed of Abraham, Reverend Pike, is anybody who has faith and who believes in his heart and confesses with his lips that the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, anybody who believes that, that is the true seed of Abraham. That's what Paul's saying right here in Galatians. I'm going to turn it over to you, Reverend Pike. See what you have to say about that.
Yes, that's very true. Those who do the works of faithful Abraham participate in his blessings regardless of their race, ethnicity, etc. But on the other hand, as I point out many times in my writings, I believe Scripture also tells in Romans 9 through 11 that God does have an unfinished agenda for those Jews who will believe on him at the end time. And I believe that God will be faithful, Christ will be faithful at his appearing to save a remnant of those who also trust in Jesus.
Eddie says that's exactly correct, and I agree with you as well, Reverend Pike. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage, and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. Our featured guest tonight is the esteemed Reverend Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, the National Prayer Network. We've been talking in the first couple of segments about his article, How Evangelicals Went Astray. We've reposted it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Of course, you can find the original at truthtellers.org. But now I want to shift gears for a moment, Ted, and this is certainly closely related to the topic, but you also have written an article in July entitled, Should You Attend a Pro-Zionist Church? And this is a question that I think Eddie wrestles with on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. But I want you to break down that article for us, if you will, Reverend Pike, and then give us the three alternatives that you offer.
Yes. The problem for the last 110 years or so is that with the mass migration of Eastern European Jews to America, with the rise of Zionism, with the rise of a basically a Jewish supremacist lobby with the ADL in 1911, tremendous pressure was put upon evangelicals, which were what we call fundamentalists at that time, to get on board and promote Israel. And as a result, the church decided that providing a safe haven for beleaguered Eastern European and Russian Jews in Palestine was the will of God. They, of course, ignored the dozens of verses in the Old Testament law which forbade national occupation of Palestine by unrepentant, Christ-rejecting Jews. Look at Moses, just one minor infraction, relatively. God wouldn't let Moses into the Holy Land, and yet Now the evangelicals believe 7 million plus Jews have God's blessing to go in there and drive the Arabs out. It's patently unbiblical. But our grandfathers and even great-grandfathers, and yours in the Southern Baptists and elsewhere, decided this was the will of God. And the problem was that a truly biblical point of view, which was held by dissident fundamentalists, they were driven out of the churches, and the pastors, in effect, became the enforcers of this edict that you have to go along with the pro-Zionist agenda, otherwise you're an anti-Semite, you're a tool of the devil, and lately they would call such a person a hater, and so on. And as a result, it becomes very difficult for those who know the truth about the history of Zionism and the Talmud and Jewish origins of communism and control of the media and even control of Congress and the White House today, it becomes very difficult for people, including Christians who have families, to go to the same churches their grandparents went without being ostracized and humiliated and even driven out of the church in pro-Zionist churches. So many people have contacted me over the years asking, do you know of a church in my area that can give the whole truth about the Jewish issue? And I say, unfortunately, I don't know of any like that. They're very rare. I did get an email the other day from a woman in the Missouri Synod Lutherans who I think are under the influence of Reverend Herman Otten, and they say that they are anti-Zionist. I am not 100% sure of that. But generally speaking, it is very difficult to be in a pro-Zionist church and speak out without being immediately stereotyped as a tool of the devil, someone who wants to bring about another Holocaust and persecute God's chosen people. And so I had a number of alternatives. Number one was, well, you can stay in that church with your family and you can pretend that you have the right to separate yourself from engagement and criticism and bringing truth, instead prioritizing the social benefits and the spiritual teaching and the youth program and things like that. But I pointed out that that's really doomed to failure, because if your children are seeing you make social amenities and the perks of going to church more important than vital truth and in also human rights violations by Israel in Palestine, your children are also going to become opportunists and compromisers. And so I said that is really not a long-term a possibility to stay in and remain silent, because these are great moral issues. Number two is to stay in the church with the ambition or the objective, kind of undercover, to redeem the church from within. And I say that this is a noble objective, but is it really workable? Because every time some human rights crisis happens in the Middle East, the poor people of Gaza, they are being assaulted by Israel in maybe with phosphorus bombs, maybe with actual machine gun fire and cannon fire on children in Gaza, and you remain silent while these poor people are suffering and literally being driven and destroyed out of a land that their parents have occupied for 1,000 years. How can you be silent? How can you ignore the great moral issues that come along regularly into the church, which are produced by the illegal, unlawful, and unbiblical occupation of Israel in the Middle East? How can you be quiet in the church when the Jewish supremacists are dominating the American media and corrupting humanity, especially the young people? And so I say it becomes very difficult to be an undercover redeemer of truth in the church without speaking out. And again, church becomes a battlefield for you if you speak out, and it's virtually impossible to do it undercover. The third possibility I point out is to actually leave the church and just remember that Jesus defined the church as where two or three are gathered together there in his name. And you are fulfilling Paul's command not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. If even you have one or two people to gather around and at least have the whole truth. And at truthtellers.org, we have now hundreds of Bible studies recorded online, dealing with Israel, dealing with the Jewish problem, but also dealing with a very, very wide variety of theological and ethical and social issues, particularly that relate to the family. And what I'm encouraging many, many of our followers to do is just sit down twice a week for your weekly Bible studies, Sunday morning, maybe Wednesday or Thursday, and turn on in your computer one of the hundreds of Bible studies we have. Just this month, we had 13,000 visits from people to our Bible studies who are doing this, who are at least, they may not have the full perks of the church, you know, the barbecues and the baseball games and the potlucks and all that so-called fellowship, but at least they have the fellowship of the whole truth. They have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and we're encouraging them, if they don't have the time to make their own Bible studies and have a home church, gather around and feed off of the real beefsteak Bible studies we have at truthtellers.org.
Hey, Brother Reverend Pike, man, you're on fire tonight, buddy. I'd like to address, I'd like to hit on a topic I hit on earlier. I was trying to find the passage in Romans, but before I go to that, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, and I'm sure you know this verse. It's in Jeremiah 31:31. It's pretty famous. It talks about the new covenant. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. When God was talking about talking a new covenant, this old covenant is pretty much null and void. It's like when you have we have a new contract now. A lot of this Old Testament stuff kind of expired at the cross of Calvary. But I do agree with you on the remnant. But the remnant is spoken of is over in Romans, I believe the 7th chapter of Romans. I'm not sure. But it says that the Jews are saved by the same way we're saved, Reverend Pike. And I know you'll agree with me. We're saved by grace and grace alone. And that grace is not even of ours. We don't even have the ability to have faith. We're saved through grace, by faith through grace. Well, this remnant of Jews will have to be saved the same way. And listen, I'd like to go one more thing and tell the people. I've tried to hammer this to some of my people where I go to church. Paul himself, there was never a greater Jew than Paul. Now, this is the scripture I couldn't find, Pastor Pike, but I know you'll find it. I know you'll know where I'm talking about. It's in Romans, I know that. But the Apostle Paul was talking about, he was telling the people that he said, and I'll paraphrase it, I am of the, well, we're going to have to wait, Pastor Pete, when we come back, Pastor Pike, we'll go back to this scripture. I think we're going to a break. I can't wait to get back to this next scripture.
All right, stay tuned, Reverend Pike, and the rest of you in the listening audience, and we'll pick up where Eddie's leaving off right after this. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
One more time,
All right, everybody, welcome back. I tell you, this has been the fastest hour of tonight's three with Reverend Ted Pike. It always seems to go that way. I was talking with Winston Smith earlier in the week, or actually texting with Winston Smith. As listeners of the show will know, Winston has lost his hearing and isn't able to be on the program as much as he once was. And when he is on the show, it's with the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist. But I was sharing with Winston that Reverend Pike was going to be our guest for the evening. Reverend Pike, Winston's all-time favorite guest. And so I had to share the news with him, and he was excited about that. And we shared a couple of stories about previous appearances Ted's made that were particularly meaningful to us via text message. And so, Ted, everybody's enjoying your appearance tonight. And I want to remind people that we've been talking about two of Ted's recent articles, How Evangelicals Went Astray and Should You Attend a Pro-Zionist Church, both of which can be read in their entirety at truthtellers.org, where you can also attend online Bible school each Sunday, or I guess any day you prefer. A lot of listeners email me saying that they aren't being spiritually nourished at their churches, and where could they go for an alternative means of spiritual nourishment? I would tell you to go, as Reverend Pike mentioned, we're two are together in his name. There you have a church. Go and get that and find it at truthtellers.org. I think there you will get a biblical message. With, you know, you're not going to get cafeteria Christianity at truthtellers.org. You're going to get it all spoken from the Word of God, the way I see it. Now, people can disagree with me and say, you know what? No, that's not what you're getting there. But I say that it is. And you go there and make your own decision. Now, before we run out of time tonight, I want to be sure to end on a positive note. So we're going to get Ted to comment on another one of his recent articles entitled Russian Revival Gives Hope for America. We're going to end with that, but first, I want to toss it back over to Eddie Miller, who was trying to work in a couple of words edgewise before the commercial break cut him off. And I know, Eddie, you're equally excited about Reverend Pike being on the line as I am. So back over to you and then to Ted.
By the way, Reverend Pike, the place where I go to get a lot of my knowledge, my ammunition, is your website. And I'm sure you recognize a lot of the verses I've been going over. There's one, Reverend Pike, I cannot find it. I've looked for it. I'm 90% sure it's in Romans. And the reason I bring it up is to get back to try to tell the people that it does not matter one whit what you are. If you're a Muslim, if you're Maoist, a Taoist, a Jew, a Gentile, the only thing that matters, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you confess, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, that He is His Savior, and you can be saved. If you turn your life over to Him, you ask Him to come into your life, you shall be saved. That's all that matters. Even the Apostle Paul, the scripture I cannot find, but I'll just paraphrase it. The Apostle Paul was talking to some of the Jews, and he says, and this is paraphrasing, there's no greater Jew than me. He said, I come from the very cream de la cream, the elite of the Jewish families. I am of the Pharisees of Jew. I've been educated in the finest Jewish schools. You know, he said, I have kept the law. I have strived to keep the law. I even persecuted the church, the Christians. He said, and he's naming all these honors that he has that not one Jew out there can top him. Most of them can't even equal him. But yet he says, I count all these honors as dung. Those honors, being a Jew, here's what it means to you. It means dung. He said, it takes away from his relationship with Jesus Christ. The only thing that matters to the Apostle Paul is Jesus Christ. And Reverend Pike, I agree with you about the remnants you were talking about. They're going to be saved just like us Gentiles are going to be saved. Matter of fact, Peter talks about that over in the Council of Jerusalem. He said that they are not saved as we are saved as them through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm paraphrasing that there, Reverend Pike, but I'd like to ask you, how close am I on that? And I'm going to turn that over to you now, Reverend Pike.
Well, Paul in Galatians makes it absolutely clear, as you've been repeating here tonight, that those who do the works of righteous Abraham and trust Jesus completely, give their hearts to him completely, are the children of Abraham. They are the inheritors of the covenant promises. But in Romans 9, there's a very important verse as he's beginning this trilogy of these three chapters having to do with Israel. He says, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul was still very burdened about his Jewish kinsmen or brethren, and they're not believers. But he says, who are Israelites, and yet he says, to whom pertaineth? Now, in the Greek, that's in present tense. Whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Now, what he's basically saying there is that just as Jesus said, not one jot or the tittle of the law is going to pass away until all things be fulfilled, so God made covenant promises to Abraham and to those, great experiment he was beginning of establishing a people who would provide a place for Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of all men, to come. There were promises given. The Old Testament prophets especially are full of hundreds, literally of hundreds of verses, promising a restoration of a remnant of faith in the end time, and that there's a covenant established by God that is not done away with at Calvary, but pertains to this long-term promise. So when Paul says that there's going to be a new covenant given, of course there's going to be a new covenant given when possibly a third of the Jewish people trust in Jesus. That's a given. That comes naturally. You'll have a new covenant. But there is a lingering promise. There are promises out of the Old Testament, and Jesus says, I've got a long-standing controversy. I've got a quarrel with this people. We've got a problem here between Jesus and the Jews, and I'm not going to just be done away with them. I'm going to, even though they are in very, very deep apostasy and darkness and delusion, and they are corrupting the whole world, and they are Babylon the Great, Jesus says, in the fullness of time, I'm going to expel them again from their promised land. I'm going to kill their mother, the great harlot. I'm going to lead them into the worst suffering that any people have ever endured in the great tribulation. And out of the smoking ashes of Zionism and out of Babylon the Great, I'm going to have a people who are trusting in me, who are descended either by proselytization like the Khazars or by lineal descent like descendants of Judah out of the covenant promises and the history of that relationship I had with the Jewish people for thousands of years. And so while I agree absolutely that spiritually speaking we are all the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ, nevertheless, God has a special quarrel with the Jews. He has a special covenant that Paul talks about here that exists even within our time. He's going to fulfill that covenant and bring in a new covenant with Jesus Christ in the fullness of time.
All right. I know, Reverend Pike, that Eddie Miller wants to make a final parting comment with you. We're unfortunately not going to have time to get into your excellent article, Russian Revival Gives Hope for America, but I would like to read the first opening sentence of that article as a teaser and encourage the listeners to go and read it in its entirety at truthtellers.org. You write in the opening sentence, 22 years ago, Russia and its satellite nations were in the grip of humanity's cruelest, bloodiest totalitarian oppression. Soviet communism is now today replaced with the pro-Christian government of Vladimir Putin. It's a government that encourages Christian culture and spirituality from the Russian Orthodox perspective. You quote our friend, mutual friend, Brother Nathaniel Kapner. Folks, check that article out if you want to leave tonight's interview on a good note. Oh, it's all been good, but on a positive and uplifting note at truthtellers.org. Eddie, we've got about 2 minutes left. I know you've been chomping at the bit to respond to Ted's last commentary.
Reverend Pikerback, we agree on about 90% of the things, but I disagree on some things. When I say that, you know, the old covenant, like I just went to Jeremiah 31:31, that old covenant, all these things have been fulfilled, Reverend Pike. All the things I talked about, that law has been fulfilled. Speaking about the law When they asked Jesus Christ what was the main, what's the most important law? The first law is, I'm sure you know, is you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. The second commandment is likened to the first. It says you should love your neighbors, you love yourself. These things, that law applies to everybody. And I'll just ask you this one question, Reverend Pike. Does he have to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior to gain salvation, or are they going to get a free pass? I'm saying to you that being a Jew counts zero unless you accept Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I think that one word answer is all that is all that's needed. It says it all, Reverend Pike. 3 hours would not be enough with you. You're such an incredible guest. Let's have you back on in the very near future. Eddie Miller just pumping his fist at the interview you gave tonight. Folks, please check out Reverend Pike's incredible work at truthtellers.org. And if you're looking for a church, make it an online one at truthtellers.org. Reverend Pike, we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again. And for the rest of you, good night. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week. For Eddie Bobbitt Miller and Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. God bless you.